and clearly. Writings of Baal Salam, item 25 in the introduction to the book of Zohar. From here emerges the full resolution of the fifth inquiry. Since the body is so corrupted that the soul cannot be fully purified before the body rots in the ground, why does it return at the revival of the dead? And also the question about the words of our sages, the dead are destined to be revived through their flaws. So it will not be said, it is another. And you will clearly understand this matter from the thought of creation itself, from the first state. We have said that since the thought was to delight his creatures, he had to create an overwhelmingly excessive will to receive all that bounty which is in the thought of creation. For the great delight and the great will to receive go hand in hand. As said in items 6 and 7, we stated there that this excessive will to receive is all the new substance he had created, for he needs nothing more than that in order to carry out the thought of creation. It is the nature of the perfect operator not to perform redundant operations. As written in the poem of unification, of all your work, not a thing you did you forget, omit, or add. We also said there that this excessive will to receive has been completely removed from the system of holiness and was given entirely to the system of the worlds of impurity, from which extend the bodies, their sustenance, and all their possessions in this world. When one reaches 13 years of age, he begins to attain a holy soul through engaging in the Torah. At that time, he is nourished by the system of the worlds of Kedusha, of holiness, according to the greatness of the soul of holiness he has attained. We also said above that during the 6,000 years that are given to us for work in Torah and Mitzvot, no corrections from this come to the body, meaning the excessive will to receive in it. All the corrections that come through our work relate only to the soul, which climbs through them on the degrees of holiness and purity, meaning only enhancement of the desire to bestow that extends with the soul. And for this reason, the body will ultimately die, be buried, and rot, since it did not undergo any correction.
אכן אי אפשר שישאר כך. כי סוף סוף...
It cannot remain that way. For if the excessive will to receive perished from the world, the thought of creation would not be realized, meaning the reception of all the great pleasures that he intended to bestow upon his creatures. For the great will to receive and the great pleasure go hand in hand. And to the extent that the desire to receive it diminishes, so diminish the delight and pleasure from reception.
Yes.
We read about the excessive will to receive. It's mentioned here several times. Also, great pleasures, not to say eternal pleasures. What if a person feels that his will to receive is small?
We're not talking about the will to receive that we feel here and now while we exist in this world, but rather this is about people who already have acquired this excessive great will to receive, and from there they come to corrections.
And what is it, excessive and great?
In that it wants to enjoy, to fill itself.
But let's say that even in that, he feels himself small, too small for earning these great pleasures. He feels himself a small egoist.
Yes.
How will he receive these great pleasures?
He needs to grow.
But we also hear that the Creator grows the desire. So how can a person be responsible for his desire?
As much as a person wants to correct the will to receive in him, he discovers more and more that the will to receive grows instead of diminishing. Until he reaches a state where the will to receive becomes excessive, as he says here. And then he already continues through the light of the Torah to take care of the will to receive and correct it to be in order to bestow. And he reaches his purpose. Yes, Dudi.
If in the spiritual path we correct each time a small portion of the will to receive, that's true?
No, on the spiritual path, well, starting from what point?
Since crossing the barrier from when a person enters spirituality.
So he feels his will to receive growing all the time.
And does he have constant corrections?
Corrections, yes.
So what is the correction? He's correcting his intention in order to bestow.
Okay. Through the reforming light?
Yes, each time he's making small corrections, small portions.
Yes.
So what is the revival of the dead if each time he was working on a small portion?
But the will to receive grows, even though the person rises above it.
Okay, אז הוא כל פעם מתקן חלק קטן.
כן.
הוא גדל. Each time he corrects a small part, he grows and he corrects a small portion.
Yes.
And what is the revival of the dead? What's to revive if each time he's correcting a small portion?
He corrects his will to receive and inverts it to be in order to bestow. And by that he reaches a state what he writes?
The revival
of the dead is a result of all the small corrections along the way, or it's an additional action after everything?
The revival of the dead is an action that comes at the end of the corrections, when a person corrects himself and discovers that his will to receive was so excessive, so that he couldn't overcome. He couldn't overcome it. And then the Creator corrects it.
But
he constantly has corrections. The Creator corrects him all the time. What's in the end that's not found along the way, along on the ladder?
There is such a measure of the will to receive that is revealed to such an extent that the person is unable to rise above it, to overcome it.
And beforehand he was capable of doing it?
Beforehand, yes. In all of the previous degrees, before the last one, he was able to overcome the will to receive.
And what is this final action? What's happening in this final action?
That the will to receive has grown to its final form. So the person is incapable of overcoming it. And here already that is in each and every state there is a certain association or participation here between the person and the creator, and by both of them together the will to receive is diminished after it grows. And on the last degree there the will to receive,
הרצון לקבל הוא כבר is, לא מקטין את עצמו.
It already does not diminish itself. One cannot. One is incapable of it. And the Creator does this work in wholeness.
When you say the excessive will to receive that's revealed, is there a leap? Like each time the ego grows and in the end it's suddenly revealed in its entirety?
No, just that this degree is such that a person doesn't have the forces to overcome it.
Why specifically in this action he lacks the powers?
Because the will to receive reaches a state where it is greater than all the previous desires, and it shows itself to a person in a way that the person sees that he doesn't have the possibility to overcome it.
And then there's the revival of the dead on this action.
Well, let's see what he will write.
Yes. He writes here that in the beginning we need to remove completely until the final. And the question is, if we receive a small portion of the will to receive, we remove it.
Yes, and so on.
Later we have to work with it, or we're simply removing it and we're not working with the will to receive until the end?
All of the work is in that we don't use it. We discover how much it is unworthy for the work.
So the ascent is constantly in annulment. There are no corrections, seemingly.
These are the corrections.
Next.
Now we can resolve the above second inquiry. What is our role in the long chain of reality of which we are but tiny links during the short span of our days? Know that our work during the 70 years of our days is divided in four. The first division is to obtain the excessive will to receive without restraints in its full, corrupted measure from under the hands of the four impure worlds of Abia. Since if we do not have that corrupted will to receive, we will not be able to correct it. For one cannot correct that which is not in him. Thus, the will to receive imprinted in the body at birth is insufficient. Rather, it must also be a vehicle for the impure shells for no less than 13 years. This means that the shells must control it and give it from their lights, for their lights, increase its will to receive. And that is because the fulfillment that the shells grant, the will to receive, only expand and enhance the demands of the will to receive. For example, at birth, he has a desire for only 100 and not more. But when the Sitra Acha on the other side provides the 100, the will to receive immediately grows and wants 200. Then when the Sitra Acha provides fulfillment for the 200, the desire immediately expands and wants 400. And if one does not overcome it through Torah and Mitzvot and purifies the will to receive to turn it into bestowal, one's will to receive expands throughout one's life until eventually he dies without obtaining but half his wishes. And this is regarded as being under the authority of the Sitra Acha and the shells, whose role is to expand and enhance his will to receive and make it exaggerated and completely unrestrained. We need to provide one with all the material he needs to work with and correct.
Ken.
What are the shells?
The will to receive that is in order to receive and has no limits.
It says
there's this fulfillment, they're called the Sitra Acha, the other side. So the klipot, the shells, are like a vessel and there's a filling called Sitra Acha, the other side. What is that?
The will to receive. The will to receive that constantly grows and wants to fill itself up. And this is how it lives and grows. If a person doesn't work on it, doesn't correct it.
According to what I read, it's a necessary part of the process of correction, meaning a person has to get through this thing called klipot, shells.
Yes.
From it he received the Sitra Acha, the other side. And then there's a situation where on the one hand he must have it, and on the other hand it risks him. If he does not overcome it through Torah and Mitzvot and purifies the will to receive to turn it into bestowal, one's will to receive expands throughout one's life until eventually he dies with obtaining about half his wishes. He gets stuck on this place he has to go through. Forever. I mean, he can be stuck there forever.
Where doesn't appear there?
He says, if it doesn't overcome through Torah and Mitzvot and purifies the will to receive to turn it into bestowal, one's will to receive expands throughout one's life until eventually he dies without obtaining but half his wishes. This is regarded as being under the authority of the Sitra Acha and the shells.
Yes.
So what will determine if a person can overcome through Torah and Mitzvot? What are Torah and Mitzvot? But it's a question, but what determines if he can overcome them or get stuck in that stage?
This is what is written. As much as we understand it from our state, well, that's how much we will understand. And as much as we don't, we don't. You want that while we're maybe 1,000 degrees below what he's writing about, you want to understand what he's writing about.
Shells and Sitra Acha on the side is something we can point to in our state and say, this is this, this is that. Is it something we can do?
Our will to receive, in order to receive, is called klipa, shell.
Ours are meaning those who are on spiritual path.
Yes.
So during our preparation for receiving the quality of bestowal, we are seemingly in the klipot.
Yes, we're in the shells. Well, shells, not quite where we are. The shells are states that are much worse. But we are already in it. More questions? None. Ah, yes?
In first division, there's no correction. Only to acquire the excessive will to receive.
Yes.
And we're talking about the spiritual desire, right?
Yes.
So before a person attains the entire exaggerated will to receive, he's always in the klipot. He doesn't correct anything.
The shells are actually the desires that have to enter every person according to the root of his soul. As much as they're able to enter him, and they build the person.
What's strange is that there's no correction.
But there will be a correction later on.
But along the way, there is no correction.
Well, there is a correction on the path, but the first stage is that the person must be under the control of the shells. In the first state, but throughout the entire way
from Moscow, it says, and because of that, the destiny of the body is to die, to be buried, and to rot. What does it mean in the rotting of the body? Does it mean the will to receive for itself and not the beastly body?
Of course, the will to receive must undergo corrections. Corrections in that the person discovers how bad it is, how contemptible it is. How much it is his enemy, and to that extent he distances himself from using it, from the smallest desires to the greatest desires, and later on he reaches, he even receives desires to correct the will to receive. So that the person asks for forces in order to correct it and invert it to a will to bestow. But rather, I can't do it, and I ask him to change it. Here he is telling us that we are in a process which is necessary, mandated, and it's good for us. So I'm asking, when we ask, how do we not bring in any complaints, but rather ask and agree with the process?
We agree with the process because the Creator created us this way. He wants us to go through it. But it's not like I'm happy about it and I'm asking for this process. I'm asking for one thing only, that is to overcome the will to receive in me.
So I want to get rid of my will to receive.
Yes.
And what he writes here is that nevertheless, the will to receive in me is essential in order to go through the process. So why would I ask to get rid of it?
Nevertheless, you have to grow in it, feel it, and understand it, and work with it.
You answered one of the questions, and you said that on the way to the complete correction, the desires of a person must show themselves as corrupted, and a person must discover it. And then he corrects them. The question is, what does it mean that a person discovers these corrupted desires? What does it mean that he asks for correction?
A person reveals his corrupted through corrupt desires, and he corrects them by turning to the Creator, and the Creator corrects them.
How does he detect that they are corrupted?
They are revealed in this way, as opposite to the purpose of creation. And a person discovers them.
And
when he does, according to the degree of his revelation, he sees that these people are in the wrong role, these desires are in the wrong role, and then he asks the Creator to correct them.
What I understood from the text is that if a person does not correct, but rather he chases pleasures, he receives 100, he wants now 200, the will to receive grows. But if he corrects yes. them, the desire also grows.
So
it grows either way.
So the will to receive must grow. If a person corrects it, then each time the will to receive grows, a person corrects it. And that's how he climbs through the good path, the path of bestowal to the Creator. And if he doesn't correct it, the will to receive grows more and more. A person fails to correct it, and then a person dies, as it's written, with only half his desires fulfilled.
But sounds like he'll still advance, or would he have to repeat everything?
In the same way that the will to receive grows, a person corrects it, or he is under its control.
If the desire grows, but he didn't correct it, rather he went along with it, will he have to repeat everything from the beginning, or?
It's not written. For now, nothing like that is written. The question remains.
From Kabyu 4, on the same topic, if a person dies, the desire that he had is not filled. So do we have to fill the desire in order to correct it?
I guess that same desire enters into other people, exists in them, gets corrected in them.
Eventually, if it is corrected, it means that we...
You
started to talk about the recognition of evil, so I have a question. Is the enlargement of the will to receive related to recognition of evil?
As the will to receive grows, accordingly, his evil inclination grows, and also, his recognition of evil grows, and his ability to correct the evil grows.
In order to reach a complete quota, is it enough that it will be revealed inside of the person, or does it require a connection between a certain number of desires?
In order for the will to receive, to see itself in all its final form, we need to prepare our vessels for it. Because it's not enough for me to want it to happen like a small child. I need to be ready and to be prepared to receive the will to receive. And not that it drops me into its entirety. I have to be rely on environmental forces, external forces, in order to receive support and help, and to ask for the will to bestow. So there will be something with which to balance this growing will to receive.
Извините, вот если вот человека раскрывает, да, если человек раскрывается, ощущает сильное желание, так, и это является, это и он ощущает.
So a person feels his desire, and then he has a certain amount of recognition of evil. Is this considered as a flaw or a lack?
It's still on the way. It's keep going. It's always. It's always good to control the will to receive and to see where you can turn it. Like driving a horse, riding a horse.
That is, to correct all the desires that are revealed in me in the direction of bestowal.
Yes.
Kiev 1.
Да, дорогой Раф, а как правильно управлять желанием получать и
how to correctly behave with the will to receive
его,
to manage it, to balance it, like you said, with the will to bestow.
Needs to arrange oneself facing the Creator and wanting to receive from Him both the good and the bad equally, which is tough. And work with whatever you are receiving in order to bestow.
How
do I position myself face to face with the Creator?
Turki 2.
It's hard to hear, I'm sorry.
Good morning, the Rav. How does the will to receive of a person become purified completely?
How a person's will to receive
reaches purification. How is it purified entirely, completely?
Purified.
How do we do it?
By praying to the Creator together with the 10 that is walking forward and receiving the reforming light, and then his will to receive is corrected. Generally speaking, you can say that.
We learned, let's say, to come above, let's say, our corrupted state. So we discover our corrupted state and we come above it all the time. Many times we can achieve this, but now we come to such an excessive state that we cannot. What is this point where we fail to correct it? What must we do then?
Ask the Creator to give us strength. You have no one else to turn to but the Creator. Ask the Creator to give us strength,
to
correct us, aim us, and that's how we'll reach the goal.
Can we call that the also the failing, not asking the Creator?
Yes, certainly.
And in that state, what can we do then?
When you don't turn to the Creator, that's the beginning of all failures. That's the cause of all failures, the reason for all of them.
Is that the turning point you need to come to, that you don't ask the Creator in a certain moment?
If
a person starts to turn to the Creator, that's already a good sign, it's a good state.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, Rav.
Czechoslovak 4.
Dear Raf, what is the procedure of correction? If I have a will to receive for myself, do I have to want all friends to feel it?
I don't
have to disclose it. There are states where maybe I should, but I have to turn it into in order to bestow. How do I turn to the Creator in prayer with a request for Him to turn my will to receive in order to receive into a will to receive with the intention of in order to
¿Cómo nuestra decena nos ayuda a alcanzar nuestra alma en el tercer estado?
How does the ten help us achieve the soul in the third state?
How
does the ten help us attain the soul in the third state?
All of the degrees. We climb them only to the extent that we connect and we incorporate into one another and to the extent that we get closer to the Creator.
How do
we prepare ourselves to the will to receive and not miss out on the opportunity to turn to the Creator for correction?
That's only in a group where we learn from one another. Main thing in the group work, that as we advance toward the end of the path, the group work becomes higher, more special, more exalted.
Рав, поскольку я услышал, когда вы отвечали на Влада из Киева, вы сказали, что
I heard you answered Vlad from Kiev, and you told him that we need to ask the Creator to accept equally the bad as well as the good.
Yes.
How can we ask for the bad as well as the good? Because the Creator is good and doing good.
Как этот человек может просить плохое?
No, we need to ask only for the good. How can a person ask for bad?
Exactly. What does it mean that we are willing to receive from the Creator both the bad and the good equally?
We are willing to receive everything from the Creator. Only as long as He sends us something.
And
in this way, we can approach Him.
Meaning it's a relative thing that we receive the bad.
We receive only the good. You can't receive the bad from the Creator.
Size büyüyen arzunun manevi bir arzu olduğunun ayrımına nasıl gelebiliriz? Nedir manevi arzu? Teşekkürler.
Dear Rav, how can I reach detecting the desire that grows within me as a spiritual desire? What actually is a spiritual desire?
A spiritual desire is a desire for connection with the friends, with all of humanity, and with the Creator into one single system. Nothing leaves that. Nothing exists outside of it. Everything exists in that system, and a person is willing to bestow to that system everything it needs. This is called a spiritual desire.
I'll read item 30 again. The second division is from 13 years and on. Then the point in his heart, which is the posterior of the soul of Kedusha, is given strength. Although it is dressed in his will to receive at birth, it only begins to awaken after 13 years for the above said reason. And then one begins to enter the authority of the worlds of Kedusha, meaning to the extent that one engages in Torah and Mitzvot. The primary aim at that time is to obtain and enlarge the spiritual wilderness. Since at birth, one has only a will to receive for corporeality. Therefore, although one has obtained the excessive will to receive before he turned 13, it is still not the completion of the growth of the will to receive. And the primary growth of the will to receive is with respect to spirituality. This is because, for example, prior to turning 13, one's will to receive wished to devour all the wealth and respect in this corporeal world. This is evidently not an eternal world, and for all of us it is but a fleeting shadow. But when one obtains the excessive spiritual will to receive, then one wishes to devour for one's own delight all the wealth and delights in the next eternal world, which is an eternal possession for him. Thus, the majority of the excessive will to receive is completed only with the desire to receive spirituality.
Ken.
Why, according to this order, why when we see that the richest people come here, the most famous ones, the ones with the greatest passions or lusts in this world, because, yeah, if I didn't manage to achieve it, maybe I'll get something here.
But what did they have?
It says here that until the age of 13, a person searches for all of the corporeal lusts. So, yes. They come after they found that there is nothing there.
I guess they're not making it.
How much money can a person want? How much honor, publicity?
Oh. You can fill a person. Our desire for that is practically limitless.
What do you mean, ours?
A person's will to receive. Wants everything. Control, money, honor, everything.
Now, when he says that from 13 years and on, he already wants a spiritual desire. It's not like now I only want a spiritual desire. Actually, then the other desires also start to grow.
Yes, they grow like that intermittently.
How do we clean it so it's only spiritual?
But there isn't something all spiritual here for the time being. The fact that he has an excessive will to receive for all of men's pleasures, it's not a spiritual will to receive.
But he says that the main aim, the main role of that time, after 13 years, is to obtain and increase the spiritual will to receive. That's the task of someone in whom the point in the heart awakened. So I'm saying, how do we obtain and increase the spiritual will to receive?
We don't feel it.
What is the spiritual will to receive?
I don't know. Let me first know what is spiritual.
So what is he writing about here? What state is he writing about?
He's writing about a state that we probably need to reach. But when? After we realize the entire will to receive, the corporeal will to receive that's in us.
How? How can we implement it?
He says that the second division from 13 years and onwards is when the forces are given to the point in the heart, which gives him the posterior soul of Kedusha and guides him. And a person goes and wants to fill this desire to receive.
So whoever came to study the wisdom of Kabbalah, they still didn't waken up in them?
No, just like that. A person just knocks on the door and enters.
But something draws him.
That doesn't say anything.
What desire leads us here to sit here?
Correct. There's something that you think that you'll somehow find something here in life. But that's still not the second division.
So that's only when a person already knows what a spiritual will to receive is.
Yes. Where all I want is a spirituality. And what's spirituality? Bestowal, connection with others, help, mutual help, in order to attain the Creator. But until age 13, it's only the corporeal will to receive. And even in the spiritual will to receive, like he writes here, this is not the completion of the desire to receive, where most of its maturity is to receive it only in spirituality.
No.
That specific reality.
So, it feels like we're in some kind of waiting room, and we already know in advance who's going to be next in line into the spiritual world.
I don't know who that's clear to.
To the Creator, it's clear.
Well, okay, yes, there's, yes.
So what are we doing for now? Just playing, or do we have anything to do? How to speed up the records that awaken in each one? What are we doing here? How do we actually work?
You stand in line in order to enter the groups, and together with the groups, you continue to stand in line in order to enter the absorption room for the Creator.
And except for waiting in line, can we do something active that will change how we're advancing, how He brings us in?
Of course, each to the extent in which what he invests.
And what do you mean invest? Because Bala Sulam writes that our investment now is to increase our will to receive, and we have no control over it. It's the only thing we can advance in. We can awaken the point in the heart, that second state before the first state.
We
don't exactly know by which of our actions we can advance more and in what direction, but we need to try in all the directions and in all the ways.
Could we skip over the first state, the first division, and go into the second division?
I don't know what it means to skip, but it could be that yes.
So what can we do to help us advance?
Connection between us.
Why? What does it do?
It's with certainty that it makes from each of us a bigger desire to receive, and accordingly, by the way, and all, not only bigger, but also in a more spiritual characteristic, because he wants to connect with the friends above his desire to receive. So if he tries to perform such an action, for him, this is truly an action that takes him out of this place, from this world, to the spiritual world.
As much as the work in connection increases the corporeal will to receive, could we say that also thanks to that, the spiritual will to receive will grow in a person, even though he doesn't pay attention to it?
Yes.
No. We are reading from the writings of Rabash, article, What is the Preparation on the Eve of Shabbat in the Work? Again, the writings of Rabash, What is the Preparation on the Eve of Shabbat in the Work? Study materials are on all our websites.
Maya Hana Be'erev Shabbat Ba'avoda.
Our sages said, in the future, the Creator brings a book of Torah and places it in his bosom. He says to those who engaged in it, come, take your reward. Promptly, idol worshippers gather and come. The Creator says to them, in what did you engage? The Creator says to them, all that you did for yourselves. They say to him, Master of the world, give us in advance and we will do. The Creator says to them, fools, he who toils on the eve of Shabbat meets on Shabbat. He who did not toil on the eve of Shabbat, from where will he eat on Shabbat?
עד כאן לשונו. ועל דרך הפשט,
there are many explanations in the literal.
אבל בדרך העבודה,
but in the work, what is the toil on the eve of Shabbat from which to have what to eat on Shabbat? We see that Shabbat is called a gift and not tzedakah or charity. As sages said, to know that I, the Lord, sanctify you, the Creator said to Moses, I have a good gift in my treasury. Its name is Shabbat. I want to give it to Israel. Go tell them.
והגמרא מביאה ראיה.
The Gemara brings evidence from here.
מתנה לחברו צריך.
One who gives a gift to his friend should notify him.
בדברים.
There are two things to understand here.
מהו הטעם?
What is the reason that we should notify when giving a gift? Whereas concerning charity, we learn the opposite. That charity should be in concealment. As it is written, giving in concealment subdues anger. Two, why is Shabbat called a gift, whereas faith is called charity? As it is written, and he believed in the Lord and considered him as righteous. And not a gift. We should understand what is a gift and what is charity in the work. Normally, one gives charity, tzedakah, out of pity and not out of love. As our sages said, one does not check with nourishments. It is so because tzedakah, charity, is not given out of love. When we should check if we should really give tzedakah or not. In tzedakah, charity, the pity determines whether or not to give. Since one who says that he has no food, meaning nothing with which to sustain himself, evokes pity, they said there, we do not check with nourishments to see if he is an honest person or a crook. This is what he said there. Rav Yehuda says, we check clothes and do not check with nourishment. Rashi interprets clothes as he came naked and said, cover me. Then he is examined to see if he is not a crook. Since clothing does not evoke any pity because a person can live without clothes, but cannot live without food. Conversely, a gift is sometimes we give specifically to those we love. The value of the gift is measured by the measure of love for that person and by the importance of that person. Normally, one who wants to show his love to another expresses it by giving a gift. According to the value of the gift, so appears the measure of love. However, there is another value to a gift. If the sender is an important person, the love cannot be measured according to the gift, since with an important person, even a small gift is valuable. With an important person, the gift is measured by the importance and greatness of the giver. Now we can understand the difference between charity and a gift. With a gift, when he wants to show his love for his friend or his teacher or his parents or children, if the giver does not notify him that he has given him the gift, how will the receiver find out about the giver's love for him? This would make giving the gift pointless, in vain. However, there is another condition about a gift. The thing he gives must be an accessory and not a necessity. Usually, we do not say, I sent this poor man a gift of bread and fish for Shabbat. We also do not say, I sent the groom a gold watch as charity. Rather, a gift is specifically an accessory, and a charity is a necessity and not an accessory.
But
sending him accessories to which the other has no necessity, why did he send it? It is in order to show him his love. It follows that if he does not notify him that he has sent him, what is the point of the gift? This is why our sages said, he who gives a gift to his friend must notify him. He does not have to notify him that he has sent him the gift, but also the value of the gift. Since according to the value of the gift, so is the measure of love revealed between them. Since to the extent that the receiver is impressed by the gift, so is his measure of gratitude. And by this, the connection of love between them forms. But with charity, there is no matter of love, since charity concerns only the giver, and he has no connection to the receiver. There, it is to the contrary. If the receiver thanks the giver, then the giver is no longer giving charity, but there is room to grip onto the charity, which is lo lishma, and receive gratitude for him. Hence, evidently, a charity must be in concealment, meaning only for the purpose of charity, and not that the poor will give him some.
Sustained a whole world. This is not so with a gift. Usually people do not ask for gifts. Instead, when we love someone and want to express the love, so it becomes known to the other that we love him, so we send him gifts. Also, the value of the gift reflects the measure of love, meaning the value of the gift is as the measure of the love.
For
this reason, when a person wants his friend to send him gifts, he must exert to do things that his friend will like, so he will love him. Love does its thing. And by this, he will receive gifts from his friend. However, it is not accepted to ask for a gift. By this, we will understand what we asked, what is the trouble on the eve of Shabbat in the work. It is that a person takes upon himself the kingdom of heaven. But for the kingdom of heaven called charity, a person must ask the Creator. Because there was a restriction and concealment, so we do not feel the Creator within reason. We must accept the faith above reason. And since the body disagrees to what the reason does not mandate, the person is in exile within self-love and cannot understand how he can emerge from this exile. This is called the exile in Egypt. It was said about this, I, the Lord your God, who brought you out from the land of Egypt. Only the Creator himself can change our nature and deliver us from self-love to love of the Creator. And only then can we observe, and you shall love the Lord your God. This request that a person makes to be given the power of faith is called charity. It is as we pray
that
we say, and we shall have charity because we will observe and do all of the mitzvah before the Lord your God, our God, and He commanded us. Also, Baal HaSulam said about one mitzvah, or about this mitzvah, that it pertains to the mitzvah of faith. Thus, it means that we say to the Creator that if we have the strength to do all of this mitzvah, that is, that it will be charity on the part of the Creator, if He gives us the power of faith above reason, which is called an act, because it is above our reason, it is called an act. It follows that the work that a person should do and toil on the eve of Shabbat, so as to have what to eat on Shabbat, means that it is known what is customary in the world. That a person troubles himself only to obtain things that give him delight and pleasure. For example, we see that there are people who work two jobs or work extra hours beyond what they have to work, according to the days and hours that the state has determined. Each one earns a salary according to his hours and his skills. Yet, some work more than others. Clearly, by this he wants to obtain something he wants. And this is the reward that gives him the energy to work. That is, according to the measure of reward that he expects, so is his energy to work. Our sages said that it is like the work and the meal. The meal is regarded as the reward. Therefore, they said, he who did not toil on the eve of Shabbat, which is the time to prepare the ingredients of the meal, and did not prepare the ingredients of the meal, from what will he eat? As the ingredients are certainly labor and toil. It therefore follows that since Shabbat is a gift called a meal, and it is customary that one who is having a meal invites only those he loves, the ingredients of the meal will mean preparations so as to be invited to the meal. This is so because from the perspective of the Creator, a person does not give to the Creator any help with the meal. Instead, what a person can do to prepare the meal is to have himself invited. He can do this in only one way, by doing good deeds that the Creator will like, so the Creator will love him. As we say, who chooses his people Israel with love. This means that the Creator chooses his people Israel. But the question is, what is Israel? It is taking upon oneself faith. This is called Israel. And all the preparation is the labor to become Israel.
How can
it be that faith is called charity? Charity is given to someone who's poor. Does it turn out that the Creator is poor?
Someone who is lacking faith, he is called poor. And then you give it to him.
Yes, but he says that a person needs to take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven, and he's in faith, he's giving it to the Creator. It turns out that the Creator is the poor one who needs the charity.
Why not?
It
doesn't work out for me because it was the Creator necessitating charity. Is that why I'm in faith above reason?
Yes.
It's kind of contradicting anything that...
You want to give the Creator, and what can you give him on your behalf? Something that he does not have. What is that?
Kilim de Kabbalah.
Vessels of reception.
How do I give vessels of reception? What's the connection between faith and giving vessels of reception?
Because faith is a force that helps you bestow.
Meaning, faith on our behalf gives the Creator a way to come to the vessels of reception?
Yes.
Ot.
More.
Ein. Ken.
Yes.
More than that, he says that charity is a matter of necessity. Is what the Creator has necessities?
Yes.
It's a little strange.
It's a little strange. Why? How could it be that the Creator is actually lacking something, right? So, that's all it is. That is the true deficiency that is in him to receive from the created beings.
What's more correct to work with the friends, within reason or above reason?
With the friends. Who are your friends?
I have friends in the 10.
Yeah.
Is it more correct for me to talk to them, get to know them, what hurts them, what they're lacking, and within reason to connect to them? Rather than looking at them from the side and get heated up about them and constantly be in prayers to the Creator, and I can prevent that whole thing from simple conversations between us. I can, meaning what's more correct to work with friends?
What do you need?
I want to connect with them, to love them, to be closer to them more and more, so we will be connected, so that we will have a 10 with a good atmosphere, so we'll have common advancement.
What for?
I feel that this is how it's correct.
You feel, according to your feeling, that's what you determine? You're writing the Torah and you're feeling?
I'm asking in the simplest possible way. I can be less connected to them, simply in a human, humane way, and to work above reason. All that I see not good in the friend, I address to the Creator. I work with the prayer for the Creator to correct everything bad that I see, yes? That I experience from the 10.
Why are you calling that above reason? It's exactly your reason.
No.
Why? When you see something bad and you're supposedly turning it into good, you're doing it with your mind.
Okay, but I'm working opposite to what my nature is telling me. My nature is disqualifying the friend.
Yeah.
And I'm turning to the Creator for him to correct this, that I want to see good things in the friend.
So you're working according to your brain.
What?
According to your brain.
Yes, but opposite my intellect, opposite my mind, opposite my reason. On the other hand, I can talk to the friend, see what is hurting him, bothering him, and to connect to him in a simple way. So I'm no longer thinking bad thoughts about him. I start to connect to him because I see what he is missing, what he's lacking. I'm asking, how should I work? This way or that way?
So I'm asking you, how do you choose what to work on?
I prefer the way that now I notice that it's better the way that I connect with the friend to get to know him more.
And
but on the other hand, I have less appeals to the Creator, less of a volcano inside of me.
אני חושב שזה בכלל לא חשוב משהו.
I think it's not even important what it's more important to scrutinize the goal he wants to achieve. And if he's doing it with the friend, then it's even better. When him and the friend have the same goal, then maybe he will attain it.
בסדר.
Okay. I see that something's going on today. There's something in the air. Yes,
Michael.
From what you said to Eyal, it sounds like there's another solution that we're not at all talking about. It's just not clear what it is. How the appeal to the Creator needs to be. What's the work that we need to do in such a case?
מה נקרא אמונה למעלה מהדעת?
What is faith above reason?
בסדר.
חושב ש... קודם כל, אני רוצה להגיד שזה משהו שהוא...
First of all, I want to say that it's something that really keeps us engaged for some time now, that closeness with the friends, and also the extent in which you know these problems, difficulties, and deficiencies. It could be that you're with a friend for years in the 10, and you don't even know what he's working at, or even some basic things in his life. And here it's really a question, whether, because I think that without knowing the friend and the problems and the work and his troubles, what am I going to ask the Creator for? It sounds very amorphic. What? Give him spirituality, give him light. There has to be a certain incorporation, and I feel like it's really missing that on the humane level, we're like lacking this closeness.
Meaning, I'm willing to be connected to everyone with all the friends. And only through the connection, I'll be able to see the truth. What the path is, and from here, I'll also learn how I can approach the Creator. Right?
It's like to start from that, and then there's an appeal to the Creator. Otherwise, what should I ask for? Not just for this article, but almost to all the articles of Rabash. There's a certain point in the article that talks about the work and above reason. And this point opens another stage in the work, in a person, in everything. We're constantly scrutinizing around this. What exactly is that work for Adam? And many times there's this, it seems like it's not touching this work, because it's something we have yet to reach. How will we come closer to the this standing of faith above reason, of work above reason?
Okay, I hear you. Who else? Yes.
We can ask the friend how he wants to connect to him, and one time it'll be this way, and another time he'll say the opposite, even. But to be aimed to how the friend wants to connect with him.
Yeah.
Yes.
So in this way, you reach the connection.
According to the desire of the friend.
Gelecekte Yaradan bir Tora kitabı getirir ve onu bağrına yerleştirir. Onunla meşgul olmuş olanlara gelin ödülünüzü alın der. Tora'nın Yaradan'ın bağrında yer alması ne demektir? Teşekkürler.
It's written in the first paragraph. That in the future the Creator brings the book of Torah and places it in his bosom. What does it mean that he places it in his bosom, the Torah?
So,
help translating it.
In the first paragraph, the Creator brings the book of Torah and places it in his bosom. So she's asking, what does it mean to that the Creator places the book of Torah in his bosom?
That he's hugging it. Well, and he's saying that whoever engages in it will come and get his reward. Obviously, I don't know all these words, what their true interpretation is, but everyone engaging in the Torah will come and get his reward. Well, who wants to run to the Creator if that's what he's offering? Standing with the book of the Torah and accepting everyone and throws out such a sentence, right? He puts it in his bosom and says, whoever engages in it will come and get his reward.
No, me mukhan.
Who's willing?
Ata mukhan.
You're willing.
Lama?
Why? And the Creator tells them that everything you did, you do for yourselves, and they told him, Dear God, give it to us in advance, and we will do. And he told them, you are fools. Whoever labored on the eve of Shabbat will eat on Shabbat, and whoever didn't, what will he eat on Shabbat?
Yep.
Better to run away from all this invitation. Okay. We will let go of it for now. What else do we have?
So should we give announcements?
Why announcements? What's the end of the lesson?
That's what I was asking.
No.
No.
Well,
no.
So announcements?
No.
I don't understand what's...
What else do we have of the lesson?
We have the study of Ten Sefirot, if we want.
Do we want or not?
No, ta'alu yadayim.
Raise your hands.
Lo masho, aval.
Not much, but.
Nikra.
Okay, let's read a bit. This is a
sefirot. We're going to reading from the study of ten.
אנחנו קוראים בספר תלמוד 10.
We are reading in the study of the 10 Sefirot. Volume 3, Part 10. We are reading in the Hebrew version of it. Since we have no English, we'll do our best. We're in item 71 in the words of the Ari, and page 908 in the Hebrew of study of this. The words of the Ari. Then it is the Vav of the inclusive Sag, and it is Vak. Ziranpin, her of hers in Tvuna. And then the two lower Nikudim from the Yud that is in Yud with the filling of Hey of Bina. In the manner of internality with their externality as well, descending to become in the manner of mochin towards the dizvak, which are vag of sag inclusive. In the depiction of tvuna, which clothes in the manner of mochin towards ziranpin.